Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're doing great, pal. We're really pumped up about both the baseball teams. Certainly disappointed in what we saw from the Cubs on the road, but man, that's pretty good—a split for the White Sox at home against that team. That's not an easy team to beat. That is a team loaded, and we'll see if they can win a series this afternoon.
Yeah, it was impressive. Obviously, people don't look at Nova as the guy of the future for the White Sox, but he's been one of the most dominant pitchers in the American League over his last five or six starts, and certainly some team missed the boat when it came to an addition of a long man or a emergency or fifth or sixth starter with Nova. But, you know, the great news was that, you know, Cease went the deepest he has, a quality start for the first time. Showed his good stuff against an excellent team, you know, albeit missed on a couple of fastballs that left the ballpark. But that is going to graduate school. That's getting your PhD when you pitch against teams like the Houston Astros and come up with some success.
Bruce, we're talking to Joe Girardi at 8 o'clock, and Joe Maddon is on the program with Lawrence at his usual time at noon on Wednesday this week instead of Tuesday. You mentioned Cease, and when you talk about him and when the league looks at Dylan Cease and they see the numbers, they might not be as impressed. But when you up close and personal as you have been for his starts, how's he handling these losses? You know, how is he handling maybe relative struggles? Because he does have this stuff, and you do see some things that, you know, are glimmers of hope. But is he getting disappointed by this, discouraged at all?
That's a really interesting question, David, because, you know, I asked him directly. I said to him, you know, we were throwing some softballs at him after the game, and myself included, about, hey, you know, you're really progressing, you know, you're looking well. And he said, bottom line is we didn't win the game, and I didn't pitch up to my expectations because I didn't go deep enough. So here's a guy that's looking at his situation right now and, you know, only in his seventh start as a major leaguer, and he's already has higher expectations. That is something impressive to me, because when you just don't go for the softball questions and say, yeah, I'm really improving, I'm getting to the point where I'm feeling comfortable here. He's already progressing beyond that and looking at a situation where he expects to be a dominant pitcher in the American League. And from that perspective, you see that in young pitchers all the time. As you guys have covered the game and covered sports for a long time, when you see a young guy come up, great expectations, and he's already projecting himself to be better, that's a good sign.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think he's gone at least five innings in all seven of his major league starts now, and that's a good sign, right? I mean, even if he's running into an off inning here and there, that's a really good sign that the kid can take the ball and go out there and give you some innings.
And it's a great sign from the player development side of the White Sox as well. I think we talked about it a little bit. If he allows a crooked number to go up, they're pushing him out there and saying, you know what, put up two zeros here in the next two innings. We're not taking you out after three if you gave up three or four runs. You're going back out there. You're getting, you know, you're going to progress. You're going to learn how to pitch and you know, correct some of the things that you were doing in the prior inning right now. You're going to learn. You're going to sit there with McCann or Castillo, and you're going to figure out different sequences of how to get people out, because if a certain pitch isn't working, unlike in the minor leagues, they're going to hit the crap out of it. And from the perspective of going and continuing to learn how to manipulate your pitches and make adjustments at that level at that time, that's invaluable. And the White Sox can allow that where other teams cannot because of the fact that number one for most teams is winning that game. In this case, it's player development.
Bruce, when you look at Anthony Rizzo, I think we're going to probably, you know, regret writing him off or doubting him at the end of the year. Probably look at his numbers. Right now he's at 21 homers, 73 runs batted in. You know, I think respectable, 284 batting average. And you're going to look at the end of the season, he'll probably be around 28, 29, close to 30, and 100 runs batted in. That said, he's got two home runs in the last 49 games. And he's in the middle of the Cubs order. And you have a batting order that has struggled to score runs. What do you do? How concerned would you be? And what's the right direction to go for the Cubs and Anthony Rizzo?
Well, it's easy for me. I've seen him slump late in seasons before. And I think last year was the exception. I think he hit pretty well in the last month of the year. But 10 days off a year, that's what Anthony Rizzo needs, okay? He's a horse. You know, they want him in the lineup for all kinds of reasons. He's a leader. He gets big hits. There's no better defender at first base than Rizzo. I think he's an underrated first baseman, even though everyone knows what an outstanding fielder he is. The thing is, he needs to be rested, and he needs to be rested every 10 days or so when you get down to the end of the season. He does so many things so well that Madden refuses to give him the time off. I'm not saying Rizzo is asking for that time off. I'm saying he needs this time off. They need the mental and physical 2 days off occasionally. And I think it would only work to their benefit. But I understand Joe's idea that, you know, without him in there, they lose on many different levels, including defense, clutch hitting, everything else. But as the numbers point out, you know, in the last part of seasons, you know, Rizzo's numbers just haven't held up.
Bruce, what does Wellington Castillo exactly do for a living these days, just out of curiosity?
He did an imitation of a catcher yesterday.
Well, it was an imitation. It was a poor one. And, I mean, I would have accepted it if Cease was throwing a knuckleball. But he had three pass balls in that game. I mean, that, you know, catch the damn ball.
You know, Renteria said after game one that he was going to talk to Castillo, and we'll probably get more information from him on it today after the second game. But in reality, you know, he wasn't seeing it. He was boxing it. He was all over the place. You know, they were real pass balls. They weren't, you know, questionable whether or not, you know, normally official score, whether it's Rosenberg or Frisky or whoever it is, we'll take a long look at it. These were just hitting the glove and bouncing everywhere. So it was kind of hard to watch. And, right. You know, Castillo's season in itself has been hard to watch. He had some injuries, and we know that. But it's been a kind of a lost season for him with the White Sox.
You know, Bruce, good story on 670thescore.com about the comparison between the Astros and the White Sox and what the White Sox want to be. And A.J. Hinch said some nice things. George Springer was complimentary. And you talk to the right people. I just wonder, is your opinion that they can do this, or do you believe that we're seeing something that might not be there and we're being overly generous to compare the two because there's so much hope invested in this White Sox rebuild?
Well, you better plug in those veterans, right, guys? I mean, you're going to have to do it. Houston did it. The Cubs certainly did it. The Cubs didn't develop one of their pitchers, right? Every pitcher that they brought in for their rebuild was through trade or free agency. So, I mean, I think you can say that Hendricks was mostly developed with the Cubs after a trade because the minor league system did have an impact. But from that perspective, it depends, you know, are the White Sox moving in the direction of the Cubs developing position players and plugging in pitchers, or are they more Houston where it was more well-rounded? And then eventually you look at the rotation now of Houston, a couple of years removed from the World Series, and they got those veterans. You have Cole, who's going to be a free agent and attractive to a lot of teams, including the Cubs and the White Sox. You have Verlander, who was a tremendous acquisition. And you got Miley, who's been great for them this year. So they went the veteran route. They're not going the route of all the metrics where you go five innings and out. They have veteran pitchers that can go deep into ball games. So The White Sox are going to have to pull the trigger on making trades, and you wonder what you can trade for now that you have young players in your system. You've seen the Cubs have to do that, and you got all-stars, in New York with Torres, you know, Jimenez and Cease with the White Sox, the future all-stars. So from that perspective, are they ready to trade young people, or are they going to go the free agent route? I think we'll know a little bit more in the fall here, but, you know, certainly a nice place to start would be Gerrit Cole.
All right, great stuff. Appreciate it, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys, have a great one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.